Good morning, and welcome to the CyberSmart Morning News Update. With the always evolving world of cyber threats and defense, you need a source you can trust. FBI retired Special Agent Darren Mott guides you through today's intricate cyber landscape and brings you the latest headlines and insights and what it means to you. Let's dive into today's cyber news.
Good morning, friends. Wednesday, March 6, 2024. This is the CyberSmart Morning News Update. And since it is Wednesday, it's Deep Dive Wednesday. So I only have four articles that we'll spend a little more time on. And you'll get a little more opinion, a little more education, all the kind of stuff we get here. As always, thank you so much for taking the time to download, listen, subscribe, and tickle the podcast algorithms wherever you can. So let's get right into it. Did you have a bad day on your Facebook and Instagram today? Or better yet, did like your parents have a bad day on Facebook and did your kids have a bad day on Instagram? This is from cybernews.com. Vilius Petkauskas reporting, Facebook and Instagram are back online after a major outage. Now, I'll be honest with you. I missed this completely in the sense that I have a Facebook and Instagram. I don't go on it very much. And clearly I missed the time frame from which I could have been logged out because it didn't happen to me. But anyway, here's from the article. Back up and running, Meta's Facebook and Instagram logged out tens of thousands of social networks users all over the world Tuesday, including the US, Europe, and India. The company points to an undisclosed quote unquote technical issue. It looks as if Facebook and Instagram have been restored, according to a new Facebook post on X. The outage, which affected more than 600,000 users at its peak, began around 10 a.m. Eastern. And we're back. So sorry for those who were unable to access Facebook earlier today, the Zuckerberg-owned social media giant said on X. Facebook and Instagram users were unable to access the social media platforms with the service logging many of them out. Using correct credentials prompted many users with an incorrect password message, sparking fears of a hacking event. Those who were using the service as the outage started were kicked out of the platform. The issue impacted desktop and mobile users alike. The outage hit over 5,500 users of Facebook and over 90,000 on Instagram worldwide, according to the website monitoring platform downdetector.com. Now, here's the interesting part of this, for me anyway, is to see if anything will really come of this. This is from the article. At one point, rumors on X implied the outage could have been a result of a massive distributed denial of service attack against Meta. A spokesperson for the White House National Security Council said it was monitoring the incident and that was not aware of any specific malicious cyber activity at the time. Now, chances are we'll never find out what really happened here because they won't tell us, because transparency is certainly not something within the Zuckerberg or Meta universe that we will ever see. But if it was some kind of cyber incident, that would certainly be interesting to know how they got it, because again, you would like to think that Meta, with all the money in the world, would have a cybersecurity workforce that could keep them safe. And maybe they did. Maybe this was just simply someone did something wrong and sent an update incorrectly and bad things like that. Kind of what happened, like allegedly happened with AT&T a couple weeks ago, that it was, there was an update that caused the outage for a lot of people, including myself. So again, just goes to prove that we are all vulnerable to something, regardless of size and scope. All right, cyberscoop.com. This one piqued my interest because if you remember a year ago, or maybe was it 2 years ago? I forget. When was that? Let's see if it even says what the time was. And in 2021, so this goes back 3 years, there was an alleged hack into a water treatment plant in Oldsmar, Florida. You may not remember it, but it was big news at the time. So this is from cyberscoop.com. Christian Vasquez reporting. And he says, did someone really hack into the Oldsmar, Florida water treatment plant? New details suggest maybe not. So that's interesting. Statements from the FBI and former Oldsmar city manager indicate what happened at the plant may not have been the work of an outside hacker. It was a kind of doomsday scenario cybersecurity experts had been warning for years. Hackers infiltrate a small water utility and try to poison the local population. That's exactly what appeared to happen in February 2021 in Oldsmar, Florida. News of hackers remotely tampering with levels of lye at the local water treatment facility alarmed officials, shocked the public, and has served as a siren call for the need to safeguard the most sensitive U.S. networks from malicious hackers attempting to cause serious physical harm and even death. In the years since Oldsmar authorities first announced the incident, officials in Washington also have regularly pointed to the case as exhibit number one for many cyber investments and regulations for U.S. critical infrastructure. But 2 years later, rather three, there's still little evidence pointing to exactly what happened inside the plant, how a hacker could have gained access to internal systems, or who may have even carried out the alleged attack. Now, new details suggest that the incident may not have been the work of an outside hacker at all. In a statement to CyberScoop, the FBI said that, quote, through the course of the investigation, the FBI was not able to confirm the incident was initiated by a targeted cyber intrusion at Oldsmar. So this is interesting, right? Because a couple things. So Washington points to this as an incident of need for more cyber regulations, right? All these cyber regulations, executive orders. How come the Cybersecurity Safety Board didn't get involved in this? That would be a question I would like to ask someone and see how that answers. Because you would think this would be something that they should do. And if you remember, you've heard me talk about this many times, if you've listened to me at all, that the Cyber Safety Review Board was an NTSB-like creation under an executive order in 2021 to investigate huge cyber incidents like this. They've done really nothing. They looked at SolarWinds and Log4j and maybe SolarWinds. I mean, I've done SolarWinds, but it's very limited what they've done, indicating that, of course, government is never going to fix any of this. But that's carry on. This is from, I was scrolling around. I hosed myself here. The rare comment from the Bureau about the investigation resulted from questions about comments from former Oldsmar City Manager Al Braithwaite. At a recent virtual conference for public administrators, he made a surprising claim that the incident was a non-event spurred by an overzealous employee. Now, it's interesting that it took so long for us to find this out, but okay. Quote, the FBI concluded there was nothing, no evidence of any access from the outside, and that it was likely the same employee that was purported to be a hero for catching it was actually banging on his keyboard, Braithwaite said, according to GCN, which first reported the statement. Braithwaite acknowledged, but did not respond to further requests for comment. I bet he did not. At the very least, the FBI statement and Braithwaite's comments tell a much different story from how the Oldsmar event was initially characterized by local law enforcement in 2021 and subsequent articles. This is somebody that is trying, or at least appears on the surface, to do something bad. It's a bad actor, said Bob Gulateri, the sheriff of Pinellas County, Florida, at the time, according to CyberScoop. In addition to CyberScoop, the event was covered by just about every major outlet, with headlines running in the New York Times and CNN, making it the most high-profile cybersecurity incident in the U.S. in recent years. All right, so the interesting point here is, okay, and there's a lot more to this article, and you're certainly welcome to read it, because it goes on for a while. Basically, the point being, there may not have been anything happened. But it's important to note that that could happen, right? OT networks that are now integrated with IT networks pose a huge vulnerability risk. So whether this was actually a cyber incident or not, I guess it doesn't matter now, right? Because obviously no one was ever going to go to jail, and no one certainly is ever going to go to jail. But it does highlight the need for water treatment plants and other utility-like entities to take cybersecurity a little more, safer, right? I mean, a lot of these plants run Windows 7 and older Windows operating systems. I've been to a couple sites that are running older, outdated versions of Windows that aren't even supported anymore. So these are huge problems that someone is ultimately going to compromise and use. So, I mean, the fact that nothing happened is interesting in the sense that, again, this is why it's important that if the FBI did this investigation, they should have come out and said it. But, you know, again, we don't get postmortems on any of this stuff because there's no transparency. I would love to see transparency. That would be so fantastic. Bleepingcomputer.com, Lawrence Abrams. Are you an iPhone user? Well, Apple fixes two new iOS zero-day exploits and attacks on iPhone. So if you're an iPhone user, chances are you've got an update. You should probably do that update. Apple released emergency security updates to fix two iOS zero-day vulnerabilities that were exploited in attacks on iPhones. Quote, Apple is aware of the report that this issue may have been exploited, unquote, the company said in an advisory issued on Tuesday, which was yesterday. The two bugs were found in the iOS kernel and the RTKit, both allowing attackers with arbitrary kernel read and write capabilities to bypass kernel memory protections. The company said it addressed the security flaw for devices running iOS 17.4, iPadOS 17.4, iOS 16.76, and iPad 16.7.6, and with improved input validation. So what devices are impacted? It's pretty extensive. I'll read them all. So if you have one, you need to update. iPhone XS and later, iPhone 8, iPhone 8 Plus, iPhone 10, iPad 5th generation, iPad Pro 9.7 inch, and the iPad Pro 12.9 inch first generation. Also the iPad Pro 12.9 inch second generation and later, iPad Pro 10.5 inch, iPad Pro 11 inch first generation and later, iPad Air 3rd generation and later, iPad 6th generation and later, and iPad Mini 5th generation. So basically, if you have an iPad or iPhone, update these devices. You need to update them now because a bad guy could theoretically get in. Apple has not shared who disclosed both 0 days or if they were discovered internally. Now, chances are, now that this particular vulnerability has been patched, bad guys are going to figure out what the vulnerability is and they will start to exploit. So if you don't update it, your phone is then vulnerable to that. Now, keep in mind, hundreds of millions of people use iPhones and iPads. Many of them will not update, will not know to update, do not have auto updates on. And so they risk the potential of being compromised. So tell your friends if they have Apples to update them, iPads or iPhones, immediately. Lastly, the Hacker News: hackers exploit ConnectWise screen connect flaws to deploy Toddler Shark malware. This is probably a similar type story we're going to see for a while. This ConnectWise screen connect flaw is a huge, 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 huge problem that bad guys are obviously exploiting, and ConnectWise just can't get a handle on. But North Korean threat actors have exploited the recently disclosed security flaws in ConnectWise screen connect to deploy a new malware called Toddler Shark. According to a report shared by Kroll with the Hacker News, Toddler Shark overlaps with known Kimsky malware such as Baby Shark and Recon Shark. Okay, the threat actor gained access to the victim's workstation by exploiting the exposed setup wizard on the Screen Connect application. They then leveraged their now hands-on keyboard access to use command.exe to execute mshta.exe with a URL to a Visual Basic based malware. So basically, they had access to a machine using this particular vulnerability within ConnectWise, Screen Connect. And they basically were able to run root access and download bad stuff and have things happen. The ConnectWise flaw in question are CVE-2024-1708 and 1709, which came to light last month and have since come under heavy exploitation by multiple threat actors to deliver cryptocurrency miners, ransomware, remote access trojans, and steelware malware. So obviously, and this is interesting for me because North Korea is becoming much more prolific in this area. It used to be China, Russia were the big boys. Iran did some stuff, and then North Korea was kind of the sitting at the baby table doing some things. North Korea has, in my opinion, has gone above Iran as far as a nation state actor threat is. So you need to take these things seriously. If you're using ConnectWise Screen Connect, I would stop until they figure out this problem. Now, maybe if you can patch it, fine. But I would question whether it's a tool worth using. But that's just me. That's just coming from my head. That's going to do it for these four articles for today. As always, if you found them interesting or not, let me know. Darren@thecyberguy.com. Follow me on LinkedIn. You can go to my Substack, cyberguy.substack.com. Cyber is spelled CYBUR in all cases for my particular branding choices. Thanks so much again for listening, downloading, passing the word on the podcast. I do see the numbers kind of going up a little bit, so I greatly, greatly appreciate that. We'll continue doing it. We'll be back again tomorrow with more news, because chances are the cybercrime problem will not fix itself. So go through your day knowing knowledge is protection. If you can understand the threats targeting you, you can assess your risk. Proceed wisely. Have a great rest of your Wednesday.
CyberSmart Morning News is written and produced by CyberGuy Productions. Feel free to email thoughts, comments, or suggestions to Darren@thecyberguy.com or follow Darren on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/DarrettMott. Thanks for listening.